You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe New Mexican and RadioCafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Elevating interest and opportunities in STEM, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And the Radio Cafe thanks the Lanl Foundation for their sponsorship of this show. We're talking today about the Gila River and the years-long effort to build a diversion project that would take water out of the river for agricultural use. Water issues in New Mexico and in the Southwest are notoriously difficult to understand because there are so many issues and interests at stake. And there are what many consider arcane water rights laws that govern how water is distributed. Local, state, regional, and federal players are all involved, lots of money is involved, and there are questions about balancing the needs of people and wildlife, and trying to understand if those are even in conflict with one another, as they're often represented. But is that true? On our show today, we'll hear from two people both deeply involved in issues surrounding the Gila River. St. John Eberle is from American Rivers, and Allison Civic is from the Gila Conservation Coalition. American Rivers has just listed the Gila River as the most endangered river in the entire country. I asked Eberle what it means for a river to be listed as endangered.
Well, American Rivers has had this most endangered rivers report. I think this is our 38th year of doing this. And the most endangered rivers name certainly could be a harbinger for like the worst rivers, right? The most polluted or the driest or the most in jeopardy of blowing up and going away. But really what it is it's a series of 10 rivers which are at a turning point this year. Rivers that are both culturally, economically, or environmentally important. But most importantly, there is an opportunity for the public to weigh in on some decision with that river over the next 12 months. For instance, a couple of years ago, we listed the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon as America's most endangered river. And it was because there were three threats to the Grand Canyon. One, a proposal to build a tram in the heart of the Grand Canyon. Another threat was the expansion of the village of Tucson on the South Rim. And it was unsure where they would be getting their water supply for such a dramatic expansion of the village. And then the third was uranium. So clearly, the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon in and of itself wouldn't be thought of as endangered. But there was a trio of threats in that case that the public could weigh in on. And in fact, the public did weigh in very strongly on it. And the tram was stopped. And the village of Tucson had to rethink their expansion plans. So it's a pretty effective tool to raise the awareness and get people involved on their rivers locally or their rivers across the country.
The Gila River has been listed as an endangered river four times already, 1995, 96, 2008, and 2015, mostly due to the diversion project. The issues today are pretty much the same, but as Eberle says, it's coming to a head this year.
And really what's going on is that under the Arizona Water Settlements Act, some federal money was designated to New Mexico as part of an agreement for water supply between Arizona and New Mexico. And as part of that, there was a 10-year time frame that proponents of building this diversion would have to site the diversion, to do some planning around it, kind of get it set up, if you will. And under NEPA, under the National Environmental Policy Act, they had to issue an environmental impact statement. That environmental impact statement is scheduled to be delivered in April of 2019, so this month. And then the state would obtain a record of decision under NEPA, so a final decision about this project, by December 31st, 2019. So the urgency of getting the public involved is obvious, right? With an EIS coming out this month, potentially, and then a record of decision at the end of the year, that's an opportunity for people to really get involved and make their voices heard. At the same time, the new governor of New Mexico, Michelle Lujan Grisham, has stated very clearly and in kind of no uncertain terms that it is her desire, and she stated this during her campaign, it's in her New Mexico water plan, that she would like to do everything she can to end the discussions about the diversion and reallocate that money towards more locally focused community conservation projects, as well as different water supply projects across southwestern New Mexico. And so the opportunity to support her wishes and her campaign promises in partnership with these deadlines under the National Environmental Policy Act is a perfect storm of opportunity for people to really, quite frankly, as overdramatic as it might sound, to actually save the last wild free-flowing river in New Mexico, and one that is so culturally and ecologically relevant to the state.
So is this all about saving a free-flowing river for its own sake, beauty, wildlife, habitat, recreation? I talked to Allison Civic of the Gila Conservation Coalition, and she told me about the many failed attempts to divert or dam the Gila River.
Well, the history of a dam or a diversion on the Gila River goes back decades. I think the earliest plan to dam up the Gila is from about 1910, and that was for a hydroelectric dam. But that never happened. In the 1960s, when the Colorado Basin Project Act was authorized, they authorized something called the Hooker Dam. That would have created the New Mexico unit of the Central Arizona Project. So for those people who don't know what the CAP is, this is a huge system of canals that basically divert water from the Colorado River and convey it to Phoenix and even to Tucson. So it's a huge project. And back in 1968, it was contemplated that there would be a New Mexico portion of the Central Arizona Project. And so the Hooker Dam would have gone in just outside the Gila Wilderness on the Gila National Forest. It failed because it would have flooded the wilderness. And the Gila Wilderness is our nation's first wilderness area, actually designated in 1924, before the Wilderness Act was even passed in, I think, 1965. So the Gila Wilderness, obviously very important nationally as well as to us here in New Mexico. So the Hooker Dam failed. The second attempt was the Conner Dam, which would have flooded prime agricultural land, impacted native fish habitat. So the Conner Dam failed as well. The third attempt was the Mongoose diversion, which was a diversion from the Gila River and an off-stream storage reservoir in Mongoose Creek. That project actually made it through the NEPA process, and this was in the late 80s. The Bureau of Reclamation went to the mayor of Silver City and said, okay, here you go. Here's the repayment schedule for building this Mongoose diversion and the reservoir. And the mayor at the time said, no way. We can't afford this project. It's way too expensive. And by the way, we have sufficient water. We don't even need this project. So that was the third attempt, failed, because basically it was too costly. And at the time, there was no federal subsidy, no federal dollars available to fund a water development project on the Gila.
So all of these past attempts failed for various reasons, including that they would have flooded wilderness and agricultural land, and that they were very expensive and would have left New Mexicans paying the bill. But what about the current project, the proposed diversion?
In the early 2000s, Arizona started to negotiate with Native American tribes in Arizona to settle water rights claims by the tribes. And so the Arizona Water Settlements Act was passed in 2004. And in it was an agreement for the New Mexico unit of the Central Arizona Project. And there was money, a subsidy of $66 million that came along with this piece of legislation. And so since 2004, the state of New Mexico, through its Interstate Stream Commission, has been planning for a New Mexico unit. And at one point, it was a diversion with off-stream storage facilities that would have cost well over $1 billion. But since that looked pretty unlikely, because with the federal subsidy, that was only a tenth of that, you know, it was pretty clear to people that there was no way that project was going to go through. And so since 2015, so the last 4 years, after this local group was set up under the Arizona Water Settlements Act, the New Mexico Central Arizona Project entity, they really are the local irrigators, a few municipalities and the counties, the four counties of southwestern New Mexico. They've really been pursuing a much smaller project, you know, nowhere near the amount of water from a big billion-dollar project, but still a pretty significant project pushing $80 million with operation and maintenance of almost $2 million a year. Even with these reduced costs, it is still way too expensive for local irrigators, and it would still damage the Gila River. And so we're very concerned about this diversion structure that could go in and actually take water at much lower flows and run the risk of drying up the river.
So there are still currently both environmental and economic concerns about the diversion project. And we haven't even talked about climate change yet. We'll get to that in a moment. But the question of what this would cost and whom it would benefit, and whether it's the best solution to the problem, and what the problem really is, all of those seem to be at the heart of the current set of issues around the Gila diversion. I asked Allison Civic about what it would cost irrigators to use the water from the proposed diversion.
So right now, irrigators, and I'll just use the Cliff Gila Valley as an example, the ditch fees for one irrigated acre is $20 a year. We're looking at the delivery cost for water to these same farmers of something on the order of $1,200 to $1,500 per irrigated acre. So, I mean, it's like orders of magnitude greater than what they're paying right now to irrigate one acre of land. And these are not high value crops. I mean, they're mostly irrigating pasture, maybe some alfalfa, but it's not pecans, it's not high value crops. So it really is super expensive water.
What is the need for that water? I mean, if you're going to divert water out of a river, presumably the need for that water has been studied. What does the need look like?
Right. Well, I wish, Mary Charlotte, that were the case. But unfortunately, with the New Mexico unit, it's sort of the case of the cart before the horse, in that Congress approved the Arizona Water Settlements Act and basically approved a project, regardless of it being needed or not. So there really is no need for this project. Irrigators are using half of the water that they could be using right now under the big adjudication, Arizona v. California, which gave New Mexico the ability to use something on the order of 30,000 acre feet per year. And if you add up all of the depletions from water use throughout the Gila San Francisco Basin, it's anywhere between 45 and 50% of that every year. So right now, they're not even using the water that's allotted to them.
So maybe the water isn't necessary to meet current needs, but it's pretty hard to say no to federal money, especially tens of millions of dollars. I asked Civic if that money could be used for other projects besides the Gila diversion.
There's $66 million that was made available to New Mexico, and it wasn't just for a New Mexico unit or Gila River diversion project. That money can be spent on water utilization projects in southwestern New Mexico that meet a water supply demand. So these are water projects that have to be done in Grant, Luna, Hidalgo, and Catron counties. So you can spend that money on water conservation, on efficiency projects, restoration, all of those kinds of projects. And you don't have to spend the money on a diversion project.
So if we were to step back as a state and say, okay, we have tens of millions of federal dollars to be spent on water projects in the Gila River area, it could potentially benefit more people and do so more efficiently.
The beneficiaries of the diversion project are really pretty small. In the Cliff Gila Valley, there are like 47 irrigators. And the New Mexico unit also has elements down in Burden on the Arizona-New Mexico line, as well as over in San Francisco on the San Francisco River. But generally speaking, we can take the money from the Arizona Water Settlements Act and spread it out over all four counties and benefit 60,000 people rather than spending it on a diversion that benefits a very few. And it's unclear if those very few can even pay for this anyway.
There's another important piece here, and that is factoring in climate change and the effect on the Gila River of warming temperatures and changing and more erratic weather patterns. I asked St. John Eberle about this.
What we're seeing, the impacts of climate change, and we can cite people like Brad Udall and Jonathan Overpeck, who have done monumental amount of work on the impacts of climate change on the Colorado River Basin overall. And the Gila being both geographically located as well as a tributary of the Colorado is in the same boat, if you will, as the Colorado River. Overall, the warming temperatures are basically reducing snowpack and shifting the time and volume of runoff on Western rivers. So because it's a little bit warmer, and I'm here in Durango, Colorado, which had an extraordinary snowpack year, but we are also seeing an earlier than average runoff. So the snow is running off the mountains faster and earlier. And then because of the warming temperatures, what would be snow in the first place is often falling as rain. And so that shift changes how the ecology reacts to the system and also the volume of water that you get out of the rivers and into the rivers in the first place. So in the Colorado River Basin overall, Dr. Udall and Dr. Overpeck have identified about a 19% reduction of Colorado River flows since 2001. In the period of 2001 to 2014, there's 19% less water in the Colorado River. So in New Mexico, in the Gila itself, Dr. David Guntler at University of New Mexico in a different study has identified in a longer time frame, he projects that by mid-century, so by 2050, there would be between 5 and 10% less average flows in the Gila itself. So it really illustrates the idea that climate change is hitting our rivers first and hardest, and we have to do whatever we can to provide resiliency for and as much flexibility in our water supply as we can in the face of both higher variability. There's also bigger storms or bigger droughts due to climate change. And so having the flexibility to better manage our water and be able to be more flexible with its use, as well as the possibility of a dramatic decrease in river water from the beginning, are all harbingers that we need to be really diligent about how we treat our rivers going forwards.
And there's yet another factor in all of this, which is that if we divert water from the Gila River here in New Mexico, we have to compensate, in other words, pay for, water that would otherwise be going downstream, even in dry years when we might not have enough water in the first place. Allison Civic explains.
There's something called the Consumptive Use and Forbearance Agreement that was part of the Arizona Water Settlements Act that is designed to protect senior water rights holders downstream in Arizona. And so there are very tight constraints under which New Mexico can divert water from the Gila. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is that the Gila River Indian community downstream outside of Phoenix, their water rights are the most senior. They were here first, and people probably know that Western water law is based on first in time, first in use. So the way it works for us here in New Mexico, for us to divert Gila River water, we must deliver to the Gila River Indian community an equivalent amount of water from the Colorado River. That's called the exchange cost. So not only would we have to pay the cost to divert and deliver the water to irrigators here in New Mexico, we would also have to pay this exchange cost to deliver an equal amount of water to the Gila River Indian community. So we hear a lot, we say, this is our water here in New Mexico. Don't let Arizona get our water. Well, this water belongs to the Gila River Indian community. they have the senior right to this water.
So we have a new governor in New Mexico. What is Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's perspective on the Gila River diversion project? St. John Eberle.
Michelle Lujan Grisham has stated very clearly and in kind of no uncertain terms that it is her desire, and she stated this during her campaign, it's in her New Mexico water plan, that she would like to do everything she can to end the discussions about the diversion and reallocate that money towards more locally focused community conservation projects, as well as different water supply projects across southwestern New Mexico. There is some decision-making authority that the governor has on how to actually allocate the funding that came in from the federal government that's in New Mexico's coffers and how she wants to direct that funding. Last week, Governor Lujan Grisham vetoed a $1.6 million-ish capital funding for the project in order to reallocate that money somewhere else. So it seems like she has the ability to redirect the various pots of money to go to more sustainable local water system projects as well as local conservation. And I believe it's her view that she feels that that would be much more effective than building one very expensive diversion. And some of the numbers coming out of the diversion is if it were built, the price for the water itself to area residents and local farms would be quite expensive. And so she's also looking out for the economic values of the local area people as well.
I asked Eberle how people can make their voices heard about this issue.
People can navigate to americanrivers.org/endangeredrivers2019. The Gila River Diversion Project and the action alert around it will be front and center. As the Gila is the number one most endangered river, people can click on the Take Action link and an email will go to Governor Lujan Grisham's office. So that's the simplest thing. People can, of course, write their own letters. They can attend public meetings. There's a lot of activity going on in southwestern New Mexico about this decision and about what's going to happen next. And so those are the physical things that people can do that would drive, you know, a decision maker to see people's opinions. But on a little more philosophical level, another thing people can always do is go see the place. I would advocate for people to go to the Gila and see this remarkable landscape, this beautiful river that flows out of one of the nation's first wilderness areas, and experience it and experience what could be lost if projects like this are proposed and executed upon. I personally went to the Gila a few years ago, and one of our other local partners at the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance took me on a tour, and the place is simply remarkable. The protection of places like this, especially in the face of climate change, and recognizing that there are places that are just too special to mess up, is a way that people can get involved, not just for this river, but for all rivers across the West and across the country, if they so choose.
St. John Eberle is Communications Director for the Colorado River Basin with American Rivers, americanrivers.org. Allison Civic is Executive Director of the Gila Conservation Coalition. They are at gilaconservation.org. I hope this has been useful, and we'd sure love to hear your feedback, feedback@radiocafe.org, or you can go to radiocafe.org and hit contact. Thanks so much for listening. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Building resilient children, families, and communities through early childhood support and partnerships, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And the Radio Cafe thanks LANL Foundation for their sponsorship of this program. You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send us any feedback on the show, ideas or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.